Fan Warning Show, J.D. Bunkus, Blake Murphy, Ailish Forfar, Sportsnet 59 The Fan. He of no dunks. There will be no dunks on his watch. It's J.E. Skeets of The Athletic. What's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, guys? How's it going this morning?
It's going well. Before we get into anything...
You're not in the shower, are you?
Yeah. Yeah, please wear clothes during these, you know? And if you aren't, just lie. You know? Like, just lie to us. Tell us you're like Tobias. You're never nude.
Hold on. Nora! Yeah, don't run the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Don't run the dishwasher when I'm in here.
Oh, we all know that you live in a nice home where that doesn't even matter, where it's like separate hot water. You feel like you have two hot water heater guy.
Yeah, he's in the fancy part of Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly.
He's in Braves country right now.
Oh, actually, let's start with that.
Are
you in on the Braves? You gotta
I've been
be,
on
right?
the Braves, yeah. I got tickets for Game 5 coming up, but there's not going to be a Game 5 because the Braves are going to sweep.
Hey!
I've got Braves fever.
There you go. You also, of course, have Raptors fever. You are one of my favorite people to talk to about the Raptors. Early returns here. I always think back, throughout Kyle Lowry's tenure, I always thought back to the reaction you and I had early when Kyle came to Toronto and just getting excited about his preseason games and stuff. I'm curious what your initial reaction to the Scotty Barnes experience has been like, because obviously very different. He's a rookie. He's not stylistically similar to Kyle, but I feel like the exuberance people are getting watching him is similarly high. Where are you at on Scotty Barnes 4 games in?
I'm very high on Scotty Barnes. Probably not as high as we were on Kyle Lowry after playing 2 or 3 games for the Raps. But yeah, he's impressed. And I am not a huge like college basketball fan too, so I don't usually have a ton of opinions when we get to the draft. And like, I definitely wasn't freaking out that the Raps didn't take Suggs. And I was like, I don't know. I don't really know these guys' games all that well. I wait until they're in the NBA. But yeah, his energy, his confidence, you know, you like to have guys like that on the team. And he's contributing right now. He's one of the better offensive players, I'd say, through the first 4 games for the Raps in terms of the way he's shooting the ball. Not from distance, but, you know, scoring inside 56% is pretty damn good for a rookie. And 17-8, you know, that's great. So I'm high on him. Maybe he's being asked to do a little too much really early in his career here with the way we're struggling offensively, the Raps are. But, yeah, it looks like a great pick and looks like he's going to be one heck of a player in this league.
The Raptors as a whole, 1-3, slightly positive point differential so far. Some fun games, really only one that wasn't super competitive. Are they about where you expected right now, the early part, especially with no Pascal Siakam?
Yeah, unfortunately. You know, I think they're near the bottom in offensive rating. Again, it's early, I get that, but that's where we figured they might struggle. You saw Van Vliet against the Bulls earlier this week. The guy is being asked to do way too much on the offensive floor. And I thought he actually had a pretty rough first half against the Bulls, and then he went sort of Nova in the second half and kept them in it, if we're being honest. But, yeah, you know, solid defense. We got you know, obviously a lot of length, which gets talked about all the time. But offensively, it's been rough, especially with OG not being able to knock down a shot from outside and just trying to figure out this 1-5 pick and roll with Van Vliet and Precious at times, which feels like a turnover 90% of the time. So, yeah, we're right there. At least the games are competitive, and they got back into that one against the Bulls. But we need Siakam back. There's no doubt. You know, we need another 20-point-per-game scorer that can alleviate some of the offensive muck, I would say.
It's funny. I'm usually, I would say I trend towards pessimism with sports a lot of the time, where I go, you know, or I can be at least hypercritical of things. And so far, it's been overwhelmingly positive with the Raptors, because I didn't think Barnes was going to be this far along in terms of his ability to get into the paint and create plays. I think the defense is something that is just going to last, right? Like, what do we think the baseline for the defense is?
Yeah, talking when we did our props, we said 8.5, like over under defensive rating ranking.
I think they're going to be a top 5 defense this season. I just actually even have a hard time believing that there's a path towards not being that. Like, they'd have to lose multiple bodies. And I don't really care about the wins and losses this season. Like, to me, it's very much process. Maybe that shifts a bit when Siakam comes back, but that kind of is going to be the big question in the next couple of weeks is, when Siakam comes back, does the team all of a sudden actually have an offense? Does he all of a sudden fit right in, create for others, score those 20-plus points a game that you referenced? Or does it take away looks from the Scotty Barneses and the OGs and it feel a little uncomfortable and like you're taking a backseat on the development? Where are you just at right now with your expectation of the return of Pascal Siakam and how it impacts the rest of the group?
Well, I think he's an unbelievable basketball player. So bringing him back into the lineup and giving him, you know, 30-plus minutes, it's only going to help your chances to win some of these games, especially when they're that close. Because, and I know you guys have talked about it, for a guy that had a quote-unquote bad season last year, he was still pretty good in terms of at least production. You know, if you guys saw Masai Ujiri, it was in one of the first games of the year. You know, they got him on the broadcast. They just got him down there courtside. He must have said, you know, youth, and even dropped the R word, rebuild in there, you know, unprompted, mind you. So yeah. I think we know where their heads are at, you know, the Raps, head brass here with what they're expecting from this season. Now, all that said, I think there's enough talent here that when Siakam is back, if everybody stays healthy, once Nurse figures out his rotations a little bit, maybe once Dragic is gone, because he's not delivering a whole lot, you know, this could be a team that is like in the mix for a play-in. And I think that would be a team that the Raps fans would get behind. Like once they figure out, again, the rotation and play hard defensively, you know, they'd be a scrappy bunch here to maybe cause some noise just to get in there and suddenly take a game or two off of whoever's the number one seed in the East. But outside of that, yeah, I don't think there's a lot of hope that they're going deep into the playoffs. So this is, like you said, like, this is a development year, especially with Scotty Barnes starting and getting a lot of minutes and then just finding your way with Siakam, VanVleet, and OG as your lead guys.
Talking to J.E. Skeets, co-host of the No Dunks podcast over at The Athletic. J.D. and J.E. Confusing. very confusing. I want to do a quick whip around of the NBA with you. You are, of course, one of the finest basketball players that the 519 has ever produced. How stoked were you to see Michael Mulder back in the league really quickly?
It's fantastic. I love all these Canadians in the league. You know, I've got a bet going with co-host of No Dunks, Trey Kirby, that Shea Gildas-Alexander is going to be an all-star this year. This has been like a bet running for 3 years now.
Is Shea, sorry to interrupt you, is Shea getting the woe boy from last night or what?
Well, I actually didn't, you know what? That's funny you say that, Blake. I forgot about the woe boy this year. I stopped doing it this season.
30 piece.
Yeah, he had a great game. 30 points. He was amazing. The truth is he unlikely will make the All-Star team because the Thunder may have 5 wins at the All-Star break. They're bad, but he is amazing. It's cool to see, you know, a bunch of Canadians on rosters and helping a lot of teams out. I love it, especially as a Canadian down here in the States. So, you know, I'm always going to bat for the Canadian boys here.
So we all fought on taking Charlotte when we were drafting our NBA league pass rankings. JD obviously snagged them. So where has LaMelo jumped in your ranking of must watch players this season?
Very, very high. Mm-hmm. He's at the point already that he's throwing like no look behind his head dimes that I think were actually, you know, if you saw the one the other night, I think he meant to throw it to Plumlee, who was trailing him. Mm-hmm. He ends up in Bridges' hands, who then dunks it, and people go crazy, like, oh, he's 10 steps ahead of everybody. I'm like, I think that was a turnover that turned into a great play. But he is so fun. The Hornets have made every game they're in entertaining. If you guys watch them on League Pass, they have the craziest play-by-play announcer in the league in Eric Collins, who can make like just a layup sound like it was a game winner and in a game 7 finals. Like, he's that entertaining paired with Del Curry there. So yeah, they're very high. I think it's looking like LaMelo and Ja Morant are going to be all-stars for the first time in their careers, you know, in both conferences here with the way they're leading their teams. I love tuning in. I love the Hornets games. They're usually on at 7 or 7:30 here on the East Coast too. So, you know, you get started with one of those, and then if they're close, you stick with it until the late game starts. So I'm high on LaMelo and that entire team.
So I think one of the reasons why I got into the NBA is that the players were so different. Like, it's my biggest gripe with hockey, and not to try to make it like always that versus this, but basketball had players where it's like you could watch Shaq and you could watch Muggsy Bogues, right? And I just always loved that about the sport. And what I really like about LaMelo is that he feels new. Like, he just feels like a guy I haven't really seen before. And that interests me more than anything. And I didn't want to kind of turn this into a hot take thing because we we always have this fascination with new players, right? Where we go, this is new, so I'm more excited about it. This is new, so I'm more excited about it. And everything is disposable. But I was texting about this with Blake the other night where, like, Ailish's question where she says, you know, how high is LaMelo for you? I don't know if it's because I've been watching Luka for the last couple of seasons, but I actually have LaMelo number one right now where I'm like, hey, if I get one ticket for this season and I'm taking out things like my chances to see LeBron and how much longer he's going to last, just purely entertainment dollar, I think he's one. And I think that the guy you referenced, Morant, like Blake has a question about him. So I'm just going to kind of pass it. It's like, I think that conversation might be between those two guys for like entertainment bang for your buck. You just have fun buying one ticket for one night. Those are the two guys.
Yeah. And I think LaMelo is obviously quite good, but I think what Ja has done so far, and again, it's three games, so grains of salt, I guess, but he's averaging 35 points and 8 assists. And the biggest thing is he's now bombing threes at
won't
a pretty
go to the dunk contest.
Though. Yeah, had a pretty high volume. And I guess, Skeets, my question for you is Memphis has kind of been in that, you know, play in range a little bit the last couple of years. And it's like, okay, are they ready to move forward? Or are they not? The Ja Morant leap, if this is, even if he's not averaging 35 points a game, because he's probably not going to, does this push up the timeline for Memphis a little bit? Or are you a little more geeked up for Memphis as a low seed in the West than maybe you were at the start of the season?
Yeah, absolutely. He's just been way more aggressive in terms of finding a shot and attacking. And like you said, adding a three-point shot through the first couple of games. He's shooting 44% from three through the first three. Yeah, I am. It is a funny team, though, because after him and what he's done, then the leading scorers, I mean, I'm guessing a lot of people listening would never be able to name these guys. Desmond Bane is next at nearly 20 points per game. And then De'Anthony Melton right behind him. You know, it's not Jaren Jackson Jr. Of course, it's not Dylan Brooks, who's out with an injury right now, or Brandon Clark, another Canadian boy. Like, it's sort of a weird team, but everybody is contributing. You've got a leader. There's no doubt Ja Morant is a leader. He is of, like, the Lowry sort of mold, I think, in the way he sort of just controls the locker room at a very young age, at 22. So it's been really fun to watch this team. You're right. They were in the play-ins the last couple of years. They should be out of the play-ins, you know, in the good direction. They should just be in the playoffs in a loaded Western Conference. I believe they could be. Like I said, especially when you get Dylan Brooks back in there, who's going to help offensively and is scrappy on the other end. So I like this team a lot, very high on them. And just Ja Morant, I'm with you, JD. Like, sure, if you want LaMelo 1 and Ja 2, I'm fine with that right now in terms of the Leaf Pass rankings. But if you're listening right now and you haven't seen any Ja Morant highlights, we played 1 week of basketball. If you fire up his highlights from just these last three games, you're going to think it's like an entire season's length of highlights. Mm-hmm. I'm not even exaggerating. Like, every four or fifth play is like jaw-dropping, like either an assist or a crazy acrobatic layup, like a Kyrie-like layup or something like that, or just a huge dunk. It's wild what he's done through three games here. And I'm starting to think he'll probably be starting an All-Star game in terms of a fan vote alongside, let's say, a Curry in the Western Conference. He's very Penny Hardaway-like, very young Derrick Rose-like. He just
has
that's
who I think of, Rose.
Explosiveness to him. Yeah, so... if you're not watching Grizzlies games, you know, check them out for not only the Canadians on the roster, but yeah, of course, Ja Morant, the show he's putting on.
The Brooks thing's worrying me. I had a preseason bet on Melton for sixth man of the year, and now I'm worried that unit looks so good that maybe Dylan comes back and comes off the bench. And, you know, the process is right if Melton's going to have a good year and then he just ends up starting too much. It's all about me.
Yeah, you know, it's very possible. I hope you didn't put a lot of money on D'Anthony Melton at first sixth man of the year.
No, it was $5, but it was like, it was very long odds. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm high on the Grizzlies. I think once Dylan comes back, he'll move to the bench. But, you know, maybe now it's Bane. Maybe now it's Dylan.
I think the thing with the jaw and like the league's always in a great place. That's, again, what I love about the NBA is it just feels like there's like nonstop stocking of the talent. Every year there are new guys that you're interested in. Every year there are new players that you would make the case for in terms of who you want to pay a dollar to see. I think the difference with Ja and LaMelo is just what you said, where it's like there are guys that when I watch Ja, I say this reminds me of early Dwayne Wade. This reminds me of Derrick Rose. I loved Ja. I fell in love with this kid as essentially as soon as someone gapped him, he hits a three and he's like, you don't know who I am. And he starts screaming at people and he's a rookie. I'm like, I love that stuff. The I belong here attitude that he seems to have. I can't remember a guy like LaMelo. I just like where there's like a sleepiness to his game where I'm like, is this guy even awake? And then all of a sudden he throws a perfect pass that's full court on into somebody's hands for a dunk. And then he's like, I'm like, oh, well, guys like him can't shoot. That's why they're such good passers. And then he hits a huge step back three. And I'm like, okay, well, then maybe he's missing like the athleticism. And then he gets to the basket with these. I really love watching him. And I feel like every time I watch him, I'm learning something new about how someone can play basketball, which is insane.
Yeah, I think comparisons that jump out to me way back when he was younger, he's got some kid vibes to him, if I'm honest.
Yeah, that's who I think of too, though.
Vibes. Though I hear you on, like, he appears to be, like, just, like,
I don't care.
I don't know, just coasting through a game. Yeah, just, like, floating. Yeah. Now, that reminds me of a guy like McGrady.
Yeah, I was going to say, sort of pass first T-Mac, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but it's fun to watch. And then, hey, look, he may not even be the best player on his team through the first week. Miles Bridges got Eastern Conference Player of the Week. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, talk about a guy that, like, could throw down a dunk, too, and put on a show. Like, those two... We got an email on our show coming up on No Dunks later this morning. You can join us live at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube if you want. Somebody's asking, are LaMelo and Miles Bridges like the new Lob City? Like, are they like CP3 and Blake, like a new version of it? And you're like, oh, there might be something there. Because it feels like, you know, again, with them, every second play is a highlight. So they're a fun watch, the Hornets.
So before you go, I just like this path of the thing that you have changed your mind about, right? Like, Blake asked you about the Raptors and whether it has bucked the trend. It's so early, right? It's very hard to have hardline opinions. But is there one team, one player, one anything in the league right now where you have either felt more emboldened the way that you felt about them before the season, or like has your opinion changed in any way, positive or negative, about any team, any player?
It's a good question. My finals picks this season, you know, in the preseason, of course, were Milwaukee and Utah. So I think they are going to meet there. I'm feeling pretty good about that, having watched those teams play a lot of their games. You know, the Jazz still undefeated, and the Bucks, you know, looking good at 3-1, and Giannis speeding up the free throw routine and all that. I think the Warriors being 4-0, I didn't see that, and they, in watching their games, I know they played the Thunder last night, they were trailing at half, and then they just turned it on, and they can, like, ramp up that defense still with Draymond. Iguodala looks really spry again suddenly, and then you've got Curry, so you're laughing. So I would say I'm like, I've become a bit more of a believer in the Warriors, like going maybe further than I thought they could in a loaded Western Conference. Like, they look legit, and that is without Klay Thompson. So yeah, they've sort of like really surprised me just how solid they look. And maybe that's just because I think I had a Warriors fatigue like the last couple of years, you know, after them going to the finals, after finals, after finals. You know, once they had the injuries, I sort of stopped watching them a whole lot. And, you know, they're really good. So I'd say the Warriors look like a threat, at least to, of course, you know, beat anybody in the Western Conference and maybe win this whole thing, especially once Clay's back.
Jay Skeets, co-host of the No Dunks podcast, The Athletic. Thanks so much for making time, man. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys. I got to get this conditioner out of my hair. Yeah.
See you later, man.
Surprised he's not a leave-in conditioner guy.
Yeah, that still makes no sense to me, by the way. I don't understand that. I don't understand leave-in conditioner. I'm just saying, like, it's one of those things where I'm like,
oh my God,
who are you that is so wise in the ways of science? Like, I don't get it. Let me ask you guys this quickly. And I'll actually do this with, like, anything. But right now, because hockey and basketball have started, maybe this is something we can do more at 9:30 if one of you wants to take time with it. But is there a player or a team in the NHL or the NBA right now where you feel like it's so early, but I was right? Or conversely, is there something where you're already like, oh, I missed this. I'm like Skeets where I had Warriors fatigue and I missed this. Do you want me to go with something?
Yeah.
I have multiple because I'm always wrong or I feel way better. You guys have one?
I mean, you can go ahead.
I'm just going to play on what I texted you last night about Anthony Davis. I think the Lakers suck. And I think that they're like...
They're old, man.
I know. I think they might be in the play-in game. And I'm just saying, it's weird to see... So LeBron takes the night off. He's got an ankle injury last night, for those of you that don't know. And I think it's if LeBron is not dealing with an ankle injury last season, LeBron, he's like, I'm obviously playing in this game. But I think... he is now at the point of his career where all of a sudden you can't just put LeBron down for 82 games like you used to, where you went one
and
of the
you
most
shouldn't.
Of course not, but still you used to say about LeBron, the craziest thing about it all is that he stays healthy despite all of this. That I think is sneaky done because he's 36 years old. But the other part of it is the regular season didn't matter for LeBron James because obviously his teams were going to walk in. Now, I think you have an older LeBron James who actually is not going to be able to regulate himself the same way in the regular season. And everyone looked at that Buddy Hield trade as, wow, I can't believe the Lakers went with a worse fit for them come playoff time. Hmm. I think LeBron looked at it and said, I need Russell Westbrook to get through the regular season because I need more rest days and I'm going to relax more. And I need Russ to be the guy that runs an offense and creates and wins us regular season games. And then when we get to the playoffs, don't worry about it. Then I'll figure that out because I'm a basketball genius and I'm going to get Russ to buy in. That's the play I think he made. That Buddy Hield wasn't going to win him regular season games. He wanted home court. He wanted to be able to rest. Last night I watched that Lakers team. And they're scrapping and clawing. LeBron didn't just take that game off because of the ankle. He took it off because they're playing the San Antonio Spurs, who's not exactly a team. They got fun players. Some maybe they're a little slept on because they wear those ugly gray uniforms and everyone just associates boringness with them. But they're not a world beater. They shouldn't be making the playoffs this year. My guy, DeJounte Murray, he shouldn't be lighting you up for, I think, almost 40 points in that game. By the way, Murray versus Siakam, I still stand by that. Or was it the Bruno pick, actually? Maybe one of those two. I just remember being very high on Murray one of those 2 years, and I didn't go in that direction.
He's awesome defensively.
Either way, I just look at that Lakers team. Anthony Davis's inability to stay healthy. Russell Westbrook's isms. And then the rest of that team where, like, none of the pieces seem to fit. And I'm like, you guys better hope LeBron plays a lot of games.
Yeah.
I don't believe in you.
Westbrook and AD combined for 68 points, 27 mm-hmm. rebounds, 12 assists, and barely won the minutes
barely.
With those guys on the yep. floor. You look at, you know,
is this
a Malik Monk-driven team? Like, that? It's not supposed to be that way.
No.
And there's obviously some noise, but, like, that unit that they ran out there with Westbrook, Rondo, mm-mm. AD, and Carmelo, and I think Austin Reeves was the fifth guy, it's not tenable. And I know they're still dealing with some injuries and LeBron, Bradley, a couple other things, but it's it could be a slog for them.
Not the weekend. It's Wednesday, right? For a second, Vic
sure
made
is.
A face when I said it's Wednesday, like it was Tuesday.
It's hump day.
And I had a feeling through my body, like I almost ruined one of these microphones. You know what I'm saying? Mm-mm-mm. The Fan Morning Show. JD Bunkus, Blake Murphy, Ailish Forfar, Sportsnet. 590 The Fan. I want to do two things to wrap up the show today. Number one is I want to dive a little deeper into Blake's thought about the bench because I think that there's a little bit more there. Maybe we end up doing that tomorrow. But first, I want to ask you guys, you've had your time to think about your team. You said to Blake earlier that he was supposed to prepare for something in a different way.
I'm prepared.
Well, okay. All right. Then prove it.
Yes. But the preparation for me got dropped on me like 90 seconds before I was expected to be ready.
Okay. You know, a big part of life is intuition, you know, and
I'm sorry I can't manufacture a take about a team I don't care about. For why you should care about them.
You shouldn't say that publicly when this is the job.
Well, no, I'm
just teasing.
Not going to. Yeah. If I have a take about something, I'll say it. But
no, listen, you made my take stronger and that I applaud you for, which was nobody cares about the Braves. Stop pretending like Alex Anthopoulos matters. And also,
I care about the Braves now after today.
Yeah.
Dan Shulman got me on the Braves.
I'm going to be texting you when my Astros go up.
All right,
in your
we'll
face,
see.
Ailish.
We should make a wager.
In your face. What? Do I get the...
I'll bring you a bag of chips.
Actually...
Whatever flavor you want.
Okay, before you reveal all your preparation and say that you come through on this, I'm going to say this to you right now.
Okay.
I am someone who will admit they are wrong given new information. I think that that is actually just a real sign of intelligence and maturity. I'm calling myself intelligent.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I like where this is going. I'm never wrong, but if I am, I'm so smart
yeah.
that I will adjust and then be right.
Yeah, you're getting it. You're picking up what I'm laying down here.
Oh, my God.
Enough people have supported your chip take.
Yep, it's viral now.
Yeah.
That's
I agree. Pathetic. It's viral.
Yep.
Enough people have supported your take.
That you'd be interested in trying.
I'm not sure I'm going to eat them tonight. Because I already
have... I will bring
have,
you some. I have a half-eaten bag that I
no,
opened.
No, I don't want...
You want a fresh bag.
No, I want
you have
a
half-eaten bag, and tonight is a Leafs-Raptors World Series night, and there's going to be enough chips left for JD tomorrow?
It's already gone by the time I get
let's
home.
Let's be honest here.
I want my own bag.
Okay.
I want that fresh crack.
Yep.
That pop.
But don't eat it at 6 a.m. It's not the right time.
Who said I'm going to eat it at 6 a.m.? I'm not. First of all, you guys know me. I don't eat until 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's right. You're fasting.
That's right. I don't even get hungry until later in the day.
Well, it must be nice. I'm starving.
I know. You and Blake, you're the snackers. You're
really munching off air.
I ate a granola bar.
And a muffin.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, what are you, the food police?
Snack of your day.
Yeah, that's right.
God, you can't hide anything from this guy.
I'm not the food police. I just am observant. That's why I do what I do for a living.
Okay.
So.
All right. So what were you saying about my chips?
And here's another thing about muffins.
Yeah.
This is where we're going with
this. I have many muffins.
It's just, big breakfast convincing us all that carb-heavy breakfasts are good for us.
I can't. The funniest thing in my life is how we all thought like muffins and bagels was the healthy choice for a morning at one point. eat this breakfast cake and swash it down with this bread and butter and cream cheese.
I don't know how they do it. Big breakfast. Like, you should just feed your kids like pure sugar for breakfast.
I know.
That'll be good for their energy levels and their insulin and...
I love sugary cereal, though. It's truly one of my favorite things.
I haven't eaten a bowl of cereal in a very long time.
You know what? Here's the thing. Stop talking about food, all right? You don't eat potatoes. You don't like sugary cereal.
I don't like it. Yeah. I just said I haven't eaten cereal. I don't live with a child. I don't have cereal around my...
Can we get a vote?
Mm-hmm.
Guys behind the glass, raise your hand if you ever want to hear from Blake on food takes anymore, considering that he doesn't eat potatoes and he doesn't have a bowl of cereal. And
no hands have been raised.
Neither of them care.
Okay, fine. I see how it is. Oh, raise your hand if you want to. That's what I said. Okay, they didn't raise their hand, so they're on my team. That's good. Thank you, guys.
I saw a shrug from both of them.
Yeah, there's
Danielle
is so upset. He's like, guys, talk about the zone defense, all right?
Yeah.
He's like, guys, here's Raptors.
I mean, I don't get to talk about sports, so I got to get food.
There's Raptors zone defense takes to talk about, you guys.
He doesn't have this accent.
They also haven't talked. They haven't played a lot of zone.
That's my Danielle impression.
No, that's not what he sounds like.
I'm going to try the chips.
Yes, you're going to try the chips. Thank you.
Minutes, I'm going to try the chips, but not today.
Okay.
Maybe the day after. I'm not going to eat them on air. That's gross. So who's your team that you're either more confident in or less confident in, despite it being only very early in both the NHL and the NBA seasons?
You want me to go first?
Well, he's looking
at you. You're the one. You choker.
No, okay. No, I'm ready. I'm ready. But you're going to chirp me because you're like, well, they're undefeated. But
I'm going to chirp you guys no matter what you do.
So over the last 2 years, I have been not giving the Florida Panthers enough love and respect because I don't really care about the Florida Panthers.
No one does.
And I think that they are definitely the real deal. And I don't think it's just because they're 6-0, but they have been quietly building a dominant offensive team. And I it's time that I will put the respect that is deserved on them. And I'm going to say that they're not a fluky team and they have a real solid chance at making it. They're better than the Lightning for sure.
I love this choice. I'm not tripping it whatsoever. I actually think it's a great one. The Barkov is so underrated. He's overrated thing. It was wrong. He's just really good. And
so underrated.
Yeah, but I think people now know that
because nobody really watches the Florida Panthers.
Right. I think he's underrated in the sense of he's not someone who people could just describe the way he plays.
Yes.
But I don't think he's underrated anymore in the sense of his appreciation around hockey. I think that he is pretty universally now accepted as one of the best 5 to 10 players in the game right now. And some people have him rated a lot higher than that. And I think that's okay. Don't forget that the team that they got bounced by last year was the Lightning, not the Montreal freaking Canadiens who can't win any hockey games, score any goals or do anything positive. They lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning and they played like this really chippy, fun series.
Yep.
That might have actually been the series of the playoffs.
Yeah, it was.
It probably was. We didn't know it at the time and I haven't reflected on it because hockey's been dead to me because I died inside after the Leafs lost that series to the Habs. I'm totally with you. Panthers, everyone was buying into them, and you do the thing where it becomes so popular
right.
that you want to not be a part of it.
Well, because, it's the obvious take.
Yeah,
at that point, right?
But it's just, it's your right. And soon, and I think that if they make a cup run, guess what people are going to do? They're going to start to root for Joe Thornton to get his first Stanley
yes.
Cup. Could you imagine if Jumbo gets his first cup after that
imagine.
Disappointment and then goes to Florida and wins it in the most irrelevant market outside of Arizona?
One question I have is, have you ever met a Florida Panthers fan?
Yes.
Okay.
I had a friend who
Alex
worked for
Wachinski.
Them. Yeah, I was going to say, I had a friend who worked for them for a little bit.
Okay,
I think
have
he
yet
rooted
to.
For them while, yeah. while he worked for them.
I have yet to meet someone that's like an authentic Florida Panthers fan, and yeah. I'm willing to extend my friend circle. So
we
get to two.
Yeah, to two.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, you guys are my friends. You're already two.
I would have been more your friend if you would have brought me the bag of chips proactively.
Okay. You
either
hate
way.
Them.
Quick thing. Yes, I know one Florida Panthers fan. He used to work here. Mm-hmm. His name's Alex Machinsky. Great guy. Love the guy. My favorite person in the universe to make fun of. Like when you guys are like the chirps, he's the king of just like you dish it out. We'd be laughing, mm-hmm. laughing. And then the second you turn it on him is like a meltdown. And with the Panthers, it was the easiest thing. Like, truly love the Panthers because you'd be like, the Panthers stink. They don't stink. They don't stink. The Panthers are good. He's like, okay, man. He has a jersey, by the way, with his name on the back of Panthers jersey. That's like a whole other level of sports
nerddom. One tiny thing about the Panthers, too. They have sweet uh-huh. throwback.
Oh, their
stuff.
Jerseys are amazing. I
unreal.
Love
with the
their
Panther
sweaters.
Coming out
yeah,
of the sweaters.
Yeah, no, they're so good.
I'll buy one of those.
Yeah, so
this
good.
Season.
Blake Murphy. Team that you feel more and bold not. So, Ailish went the way if she was right about something.
No, I was hesitant, and I'm coming around to it. So maybe I was wrong about them, and I am giving them more respect,
okay.
I think. Because I didn't want to be on that fan base.
Okay,
I'm
with
bandwagon.
You. I think you and I were both there.
Yeah,
we pushed back to the bandwagon
yes.
thing. I went very pro-Bruins in this division because no one talked about the Bruins, and everyone kind of overlooked them. Everyone was riding high on the Panthers. But I think you're right, that if I'm looking at this so far this year, the team that is going to finish first in the Atlantic is the Florida Panthers. Blake Murphy.
So, to build off the Bruins thing.
Yeah.
The team that I had maybe a little bit more faith in than others, it seemed like, got pasted by the Bruins in the playoffs last year, four games to one.
Okay, well, you're going hockey here. This is an upset.
Yeah, the Washington Capitals.
Okay.
There was a little bit of, you know, is this the end of that run? And has Ovechkin slowed down a little mm-hmm. bit? And he has absolutely not slowed down a little bit. And it's been great to see. I don't have a ton of hot hockey takes, but... Ovechkin, every year I will just dig in that Ovechkin is still the best goal scorer, still the best goal scorer.
Is he going to beat Gretzky's record?
I mean, you got to look at 3-4 more years still at this level. I don't know about that, but.
What's the percentage there, numbers guy?
I don't know.
I love it.
You can't put me on the spot for like
yes,
a
yes, we can. That's what we do. This is live. It's live.
But it requires a calculation.
Ah,
I don't,
too bad. That's your brain.
This is the thing with math. You don't just make up the math.
15 minutes.
I make up the math all the time.
You could have just said there's a 23%
yep.
chance. I
would
have been like,
everyone
all right, I'm in on that.
That seems
yep.
high.
Yep. Okay. We'll see.
So
you can't make up the math, but you can make up the
chance.
That seems high, huh?
12?
12 seems about right.
Okay.
Oh, so guess what he just did? Make up the math right there on the fly.
I totally bought it. What about you, JD?
The New York Knicks. Bing bong. I love the Knicks. I love the Knicks so much. I actually think I might abandon the Raptors because I love Knicks fans so much. Like, they're the best fan base in all of professional sports. Like, the Knicks fans, see, Toronto, everybody in Toronto, this is actually a PSA for you. That is a team where their fans have not shown up for games. They have, I don't even know how to say, sworn at their owner, public, like chanted about their owner.
Yeah.
There's an accountability with the Knicks. When they're bad, they trash the Knicks. And you know what they do when they're good? They jump on the freaking bandwagon, but they've been there before and they care and they accentuate it more. It's okay to rip your team. Not like the Knicks are this a sterling example of actual success, but they are very Leafish in that regardless of the success, there is a fan base. But with the Leafs, because it's hockey, it's a little bit more tied into, you buy into like the culture of the sport a little bit more. The New York Knicks have, I don't even think it's close, the best fans in any sport, any pro sports team. Is there any fan base that you think is close to the Knicks in terms of like best?
Off the top of my head,
nope.
Bills
nope.
Mafia.
No.
Bills Mafia is good. I will say that they're up there. They're on the list. Like,
I have a lot of Knicks fan friends, and like Knicks Twitter is the best basketball Twitter. Like,
Knicks everything is
usually
the best.
When things are going the worst.
Go Knicks.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Knicks are, and like you get the element too of like every player in the NBA gets up to play at MSG.
Yeah.
And MSG is just such a beautiful game presentation. Yeah.
Oh,
that
my God.
This is like, I know that people like clowning on the Knicks too, but like basketball is just better when the Knicks are competent.
But it's the same thing with the Leafs. People love clowning on the Leafs. Mm-hmm. They get way too much coverage regardless of whatever the team is. And when they are relevant, the league is stronger. The league is better when the team where that the most people care about are invested. I'm sorry, but it's true. It doesn't matter if the Florida Panthers go and play in a Stanley Cup finals because no one cares. And then everyone's out. It does if the Leafs do, because guess what? Every single person outside of Toronto will be rooting against the Maple Leafs. Every person in this country is actively, other than the weirdos that go like, it's Canada's team. It's like, no. Toronto is not Canada's team. They are Toronto's team. They are Toronto Maple Leafs fans teams. They might be popular across Canada. They are not Canada's team. The New York Knicks, I thought were the ultimate, they're going to come into the season and then they're going to get exposed. That Julius Randle had the Siakam year where everyone went, oh, this guy's really good. And then he goes in the playoffs and we're like, that guy isn't little, like, let's not get too excited here. It's Julius freaking Randle. He's got alligator arms. He's got really short arms for a tall guy. And the NBA is all about wingspan and little Julius Randle's out there like, I can't reach my wallet.
Poor guy.
So the Knicks, I like RJ Barrett. I always root for RJ Barrett, but I kind of thought RJ Barrett might just be a good sixth guy on a winner, might be a seventh guy on a winner. He might be a little better than that. He's shooting with a lot of confidence. He's not hitting a lot of shots, but he's still shooting the ball more, and that's a good sign. I just think that the Knicks are building momentum. They're also one of those fan bases or franchises where I actually think like the excitement of the fan base like bleeds into the arena and has a real aura in the game and an impact on the players, where through an 82-game regular season, it's like the Raptors with their defense, right? Where you go, hey, this is going to sustain. This is going to keep working. They're a well-coached team and they're deep and they're young. And so they're going to have guys who try. Trying in the regular season matters. In the playoffs, it doesn't. Everybody's trying in the playoffs. And so it levels out and it becomes about talent. Regular season, though, you can get by on a lot of trying. And I think if the Knicks keep trying and the Knicks keep doing this, that it's only going to make them more attractive to a superstar player, and that someone is going to want to look at this in the NBA and is going to be very smart in a league where guys care very, very deeply about marketing themselves, about their legacies. Look at the NBA is all these guys who go, I don't care about my legacy. I just care about winning. And then the league's 75 top players come out and Klay Thompson's crying for 2 weeks wearing uniforms that say 77 on the back of them. And he's like, I should have made the list. It's about legacy. And then he gets hit in the post game and Klay Thompson's like, it's only about rings. It's about the team's win. It's not about my statistics, not about my original acolytes. So
While we're on the Warriors, another one I was right about. Similar to Ovechkin hasn't gone yet. I was also right Steph Curry's good. Just chirping myself for an obvious.
That is a good one. Yeah. But do you buy the Knicks thing like the Knicks being good, the Knicks being relevant is actually going to create for the first time in a long time, I hate to say it, but a John Tavares situation where somebody around the NBA is going to force their way to the Knicks?
Do you think maybe even added to that is because the Nets are good?
That's good. Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I think they're great.
Yeah. Kevin Durant's bad now.
No, they're really good. I think, would that matter?
I don't know so much about the basketball rivalries, but for two teams in that city, it definitely matters.
It's one of those things, though, where, like, even though the Nets have been better than the Knicks last year, like, it's a Knicks town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the fact that the Nets are now better and better and better.
Well, I think it would be really cool for basketball. I don't know that helps sell someone on coming there.
Good to know.
I buy it. I buy it from this standpoint is that, like, if you can beat the Nets, there's an added, it's like those fan bases, the Lakers and then the Knicks, there's almost like a level of they're offended by the idea that the people in the area would root for anyone other than those teams. And it's like, they're disgusted by the fact that you would dare not cheer for the Lakers and that you would jump on the Clippers bandwagon when they might have a chance. Oh, the Clippers are favored? Yuck.
Oh, they're a Nets fan? You must be a New York import.
Yes, exactly. It's like you're not someone here.
Is that like the Mets and the Yankees as well?
I think the Mets are a little more ingrained.
Yeah, okay. Mets and Yankees to me is different. These ones are like if you're a Knicks fan or you're a Lakers fan in those areas, you're like a real basketball fan.
Right. Like think of if Toronto or the Toronto area got a second hockey team and a bunch of Leafs fans siphoned off. And
like, go cheer for the Markham
The existing
monsters.
Leafs fans would be very high and mighty about that. Yeah, and that very, that team doesn't matter. This is Toronto's hockey team.
We don't need to imagine it. It already happened with the Ottawa Senators.
Right.
when people
okay,
went,
but they're,
not, they're
away.
Not like down the street though.
When the Ottawa Senators got their hockey team, their entire fan base was built on people who used to love the Leafs, who mm-hmm. turned their backs on the Leafs, and it was very much an element of their fan base. Trust me. And so they're far enough away where it isn't quite the same, but there was definitely an element of looking at Senators fans going, you cheer for the Sens? That's embarrassing for you. Don't cheer for the B team of Ontario.
Mm. Also, to your Knicks point, mm-hmm. there is already an example of that happening. I know it was a buyout situation, so it's a little different, but Kemba got freed to go to the mm-hmm. Knicks. And I know he's a New York guy, but that was, like, Kemba's still good.
Mm.
He's 31. He's got some
sure
time left. Yeah. I mean, I don't think yeah. he's all-star Kemba,
yeah.
but it's already like, I'm trying to help you make your point here. Stop.
No,
don't undercut me.
I think that.
But it's a guy that averaged 20 points a game last year.
Yes. I think Kemba's issue is more, what is his ceiling as a player and can he stay healthy? But no, to the greater point is, you're right. Guys,
it's a start.
Guys already want to be a part of the Knicks. And now all of a sudden, here's my hopes for the Knicks. I actually don't want the Damian Lillard thing. I kind of think that that's not enough. And the timeline of it is like, okay, maybe. But the one I'm sneaky kind of hoping for, at the end of this year, Zion is like, I hate it here. It's New Orleans. I don't want to play here. Trade me to go play for the Knicks. Trade me to go play in New York. I want to go play with RJ. I want to reunite.
Maybe it'll work better for him too.
What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if we're there yet. There's the CAA ESPN conspiracy.
That's my favorite
that
one.
Lays that out pretty well. Also, something that I was a take I was wrong about. I thought maybe the Pelicans could hang in just a little bit until Zion's back. I like the roster. It's full of basketball nerd guys. They're bad.
That's the thing about basketball nerd guys is they usually suck.
They're also just not ready yet.
Yeah, like, I know, but that's what I mean is they suck.
Like Herb Jones is going to be good. Najee Marshall's okay.
But yeah, those guys are no
JV's ones. Leading the league in rebounds.
We've got
that's
a
like
take
that guy you
text.
Said earlier who you like talked to Skeets about, and I was like, no one's ever
Michael
was.
Mulder? Oh, it's like, just he's a kid from Windsor and just got
5-9.
Signed.
He's a guy from the X-Files, all right?
Yeah, I was not actually asking him to analyze Magic Mike Mulder.
Yeah,
it was just... He's a guy from roughly where we're from, and he's just got signed to an NBA team.
Here's a take from the text line.
Yeah, text takes.
Didn't sign their name, so can't give you credit, but take. Alex Caruso was the Lakers' Zach Hyman. The Bulls and Oilers will finish ahead of the Lakers and Leafs, respectively.
No, I got to tell this person, you know, you're hired on this show. Like, anytime you want to work on the show with that take, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for, baby. Like, that is high-level stuff. It's obviously wrong. Hyman is way better than Caruso. However, I love that. I genuinely like that. That's magic. I love that. If you have texts like that,
their name.
Yeah, I wish you signed your name. But the Alex Caruso, Zach Hyman parallel. The fact that you put that together and did it that way, like I love you. Like whoever you are, I love that you listen to the show. Thank you so much for contributing that. I don't. It's tough because now you have to read another text. And it's going to be so far from the Caruso Hyman. I'm in shock at how much I love that.
Okay.
Shock.
Here's Joe in Mississauga.
That's the best text I've ever heard.
Okay. Sorry. This won't be as good. But Joe in Mississauga. Good morning. I'm abandoning the Canadians. At 1-6, they are out of the playoffs already. See ya. Might as well throw in Minnesota Vikings as well. Argos are hanging in, though. Canada flag. Football emoji. Joe Mississauga, peace emoji.
You're a loser, Joe. Your team went to the Stanley Cup final last year, and you're like, and then they did it with the regular season games, and I'm out. 1-6. Joe, classic Habs fan. Classic Habs fan. Although Knicks and Habs, that's actually the closer one, where it's like they care. The atmosphere is great. They're on the team when they're hot. They're off the team when they're bad. They have real energy. You go to a game at the Bell Center versus any other arena in hockey and you go, oh my God, wow, this is something. That's why you actually feel like you're experiencing something religious. If you love hockey and you go to the Belle Province and watch a hockey game there and just the way that they interact, especially Leafs Habs nights where there's that like, doesn't matter if either team sucks, there's like an energy in the air and it's like, wow, we have stakes in the stands kind of game. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone's going to fight, there's going to be a fight in the parking lot after this game. That's great. I love that. So yeah, I don't know what you mean. I guess if you're just saying you don't care the season, I would just caution that because that's what a lot of Habs fans did last year. That's what they do. They protect themselves by saying, I don't care about the team this year. They can't win. And then if they start to win and they turn things around, you're going to be the one that's like, I always believe in them. I'm Joe from wherever the hell.
Mississauga.
I would say the Vikings thing is fair though. If you bail on the Vikings at this point, you know, not just this season, but I just mean in general, that's a franchise where it's like, what is the positive, your positive memories over the last 25 years are you've gotten great seasons from Adrian Peterson and Randy Moss, and that's the end of the list.
Okay, woof. Quick one here. Mm-hmm. Neil from Oshawa. Did the Ron Francis and the Seattle Kraken just create the hockey team that Leafs fans have wanted to see from MLSC? Seems like it to me. Big, hard-checking, skilled, fun to watch. The Seattle Kraken are the Leafs of the 90s.
It's a huge stretch for me.
Are we really going to 2-4-1 team is better than the 2-4-1 team?
Yeah, and it's like, what? It's like, so Yanni Gourde, you're like, I wish the Leafs had no Matthews and I wish they had Yanni Gourde would be.
And Oleksiak.
That would be the way that I would want to see the team built.
Okay, one more quick one.
Jeremy McCann would be all right.
Vince Dunn?
I wish the team was more physical. I think everybody in the city, it's so funny because Toronto is this like, you think of Toronto and the rest of Canada goes, ooh la la, Toronto, Bay Street, ooh, the suits, you know, ooh, Toronto, so ooh. Fancy, you big city boy. And in reality, it's like the hockey fans, you know what they love? Blue collar teams. Mm. And yet here we have the most like non-blue collar team ever. And people are like, well, I wonder why everybody hates these guys. All the silver spoons, like, duh, put it together. Go get some blue collar guys.
Okay, last text. B team of Ontario, LOL. The Senators have been to a cup final in the last 50 years.
And guess what? It's a tree fell in the woods situation. Like, no one noticed. No one cares. You Sens fans, all four of you are like, did you notice we did good? It's like, nope, nobody cares.
Oh, we were a runner-up better.
Do you know when the Sens were relevant? When the Leafs were too, and there was a rivalry between the two games, and people went like, oh, that's cool.
There's
Senators are doing great.
And guess what?
You guys can't even get an arena in your city because nobody cares. It's
and
like
the only lovable senator spent the whole time wanting to play in Toronto.
Now we love him.
No, it's true. It's really true. Jason Spezza. Ask Jason Spezza which franchise means more to him with the truth serum running through his veins.
Woo! What Just a saying, Wednesday we're
Sens
having.
Fans. Remember Alfredson, how he left? Remember Carlson, how he left? Oh. Remember how all these things end for you? Who's your guy?
Chris
Phillips? Go have a big rig brew and celebrate your Chris Phillips. Losers. This is the Fan Morning Show. You'll always be in our shadow, Senators fans. I'm JD Bunkus, Blake Murphy, Ailish Forfar. Subscribe to the podcast, for God's sakes. And also follow us on our socials at JD Bunkus, at Blake Murphy ODC, and E Blake Murphy, and at Ailish Forfar. Talk to you tomorrow.